This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the overlooking voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Oh, nice little ring to that. Did you mean to do that?
In what way? What do you mean?
Overlooking.
Just natural.
Really?
Naturally flowed.
Like really flowed nicely. Really nice start to the show.
Thank you. Positive start.
Positive start. And this, did you reckon this will sound different? The fact that we are, I would say we're no more than a foot from each other right now.
It's too close. It's way too close.
Way too close. Like if people are looking at us right now, they'd probably think we're about to kiss.
God. Horrible image in my mind.
Yeah. Likewise. Likewise. Yeah, let's just, anyway, overlooking. Let's just change the subject quickly.
Yeah, swiftly moving on. So we are, what are we overlooking, Richard?
We are overlooking Coventry City, the Rico Arena.
Amazing.
It's still the Rico Arena, isn't it?
Do you know what? As soon as you said Coventry City, I thought, is it still the Rico? I don't think it is.
Is it not? Everyone still knows it as the Rico, though.
Yeah.
Really, really nice room. So I mean, even that, by the way, we've not started this well. We're a foot from each other and we have shared a room last night. This is true. But we are overlooking the pitch. Pitch looks in good order.
It does. Do you know what's beautiful about this as well? Mm. And you will have issue with what I'm about to say, but obviously, we arrived here very late last night, so I knew that we were kind of in the vicinity of Coventry Stadium, but I had no idea that we were in a room overlooking the stadium. So this morning, I pulled the curtain, expecting to look out over a car park or something, and boom, I had authentic, organic surprise.
Did you?
I didn't know.
Well, you see, I did know for the fact that we booked it very late, so we'll talk about this in a second. We had a big goalkeeping event last night, which was good fun, lots of great goalkeeping minds there. And then we then had a last minute decision. We needed to stay somewhere in the Birmingham area. So I had a quick look and I did see that this was here and I had a choice. Do I go for the pitch view? And I did. So you're welcome.
And you didn't tell me, which I appreciate.
You are welcome. I kind of forgot once I'd done it, to be honest.
So yes, last night we are here because last night we held an event that was very productive.
We did. Yes. Lots of goalkeeping coaches, various clubs, a good catch up. We've had a bit of a goalkeeping week, haven't we? A few lads last week as well. And it's quite nice doing the rounds, meeting goalkeepers. And certainly when you get goalkeeping minds together, talking in real detail. I know we do it on the pod as best we can, but look, I'll happily say these guys are levels above us, I think it's fair to say. And so when you get into the real sort of deep goalkeeping chat and understanding how goalkeeping dynamics work, how the coaches work with the goalkeepers that they've got, the recruitment side of things, I do find it fascinating.
It is incredible how long you can sit there talking about just goalkeeping and nothing else. So you mentioned before, I think it was it last week or the week before? I can't remember now, but we sat in a hotel in Manchester with a ream of goalkeepers coming and going. And it got to about, 10 o'clock? And I thought, I've sat in this seat for about 12 hours and I've not eaten a thing, nothing. But quite the day it was. Even Luton Town popped up for a bit. Liverpool under 23s, all kinds.
I mean, that was a surprise. So the hotel we were in, it just so happened. And of course, you get this up and down the country Friday nights. Teams will stay wherever they're needing to stay. We had no idea that Luton would be there. They had Man City, didn't they? I think it was the next day. And so got to see a few of the Luton guys as well. And it turned into like, and it always does. It's like a round table. Everyone sat round, like I think it must be five or six goalkeepers at that point. And time flies. Do you know what I do think though? Obviously, look, and they go, and again, I know you guys listening in, you're all very much into your goalkeeping. I always think, do you know what? If someone who didn't like goalkeeping was listening in, it's probably the most boring conversation they could ever imagine. But for goalkeepers, talking about different goalkeepers, different ideas in goalkeeping, it was, really high energy. And like you say, those 8-10 hours, whatever we were sat there, just flew by.
And there was one common theme to finish. Of all the goalkeepers that came in that day, there was one common theme bar one of them. What was that?
Go on.
They were all wearing hoodies.
There you go. I did not notice that. Such a random thing. What is wrong with you?
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, Richard, we shall start in the Premier League. West Ham 2, Liverpool 2. And two really good saves from Alisson in this one. One in the first half from Jared Bowen, one in the second half from Emerson. However, we also saw an uncharacteristic error from the Brazilian.
We did. I'll start here because it was an uncharacteristic error. However, the reason I wanted to talk about this was actually the way in which he then recomposed himself. So ball crossed him from the left-hand side. Some of you may have seen this. And it was quite a simple, for him, certainly a simple catch from the cross. Ball slipped through his gloves. But what I liked about this, and I just wanted to highlight this on the show, was that how often does that happen in a game where you do something, you know instantly, like, that was a bad error. You know, we've all been there. And it's a speed at which you can compose yourself for the next action. Of course, then in the second phase of play, ball comes back, fired into the top corner, and he then makes a brilliant save. He's got himself back into the goal, set, explodes up to his left and parries it round to the left. And I just like this for that fact because, as I say, I can sort of talk from personal experience in that when you do have those moments, sometimes it could be so hard to get yourself back into the moment, connected to the game, focused, and you so often see it where one mistake can lead to two very, very quickly. But I just enjoyed this for the fact that he was able to do that so quickly.
Alphonse Areola at the other end. So threefold here for Areola. Firstly, there seemed to be a fair bit of questioning on the goal scored by Andrew Robertson. Your thoughts?
No, I thought this was very harsh because I think, like, I saw it again when they showed the replays from behind and they're getting all the different diagrams out and surely he gets a good hand, can he do more? I think in that moment, you've got two, three players in front of him. It's very difficult to see for one. And I use this expression a lot, but he's, for me, taken up a true position. I think you can see goalkeepers that maybe overcover the near hit, which had he done that, he would have made the save, but that wouldn't have been the right thing to do. I think his positioning is actually where it should be. And the fact that it's come past three players, I think he's slightly late to react. And because of that, he's not able to make the save. Yes, he gets a hand to it. And that's the classic one. Or he gets a good hand, should get it around the post. On another day, maybe he gets this around the post. But I think this is, again, it falls into that category. It's either a very good save if he puts it around the post, or you get people questioning him if he doesn't save it. And I think it falls somewhere right in the middle where I certainly wouldn't say it's an error. I'm sure he'll look back on it and think that maybe he could have got more of a hand on it. But certainly no error for me.
Secondly, Spawny goal of the week for Liverpool's equaliser, their first goal.
Yes, pinball.
Actually, no, they went 2-1 up with this one, sorry.
Right, yeah, pinball, basically. Struck in, defender, hits him, goes in. Yeah, very annoying when you see Areola, OG, next to your name, where there's nothing he can do. You know, he's on the line, it's been struck across him, hit two of his lads, it's hit him. Yeah, nothing he can do, just one of those things.
And thirdly, your take on this whole situation involving Cody Gakpo.
Yeah, it's a really, really strange one. Because again, I'll always try and put myself in the shoes of the goalkeeper, and he has been fouled in that moment. Ball goes up, catches it, he's been fouled. And for whatever reason, in his mind, he thinks the referee's blown the whistle in that moment. And he's obviously then put the ball down. So I don't know. I know that you're going to say, I know exactly what you're going to say, because we've spoken about it briefly already, that the whistle hasn't been blown. You play to the whistle. You know, it's long after the event. He's put the ball down. The guy comes up. He'll just tap it into an empty net. It should be a goal. I know that's what you're going to say. For me, I just know that in that moment, he has been fouled. He's probably a bit dazed. You know, he thinks the whistle's gone. He's put the ball down. So I can understand why the ref's done what is fair in my idea in that moment. The ref has done what is fair.
Come on,
but
mate.
I do agree that yes, the whistle didn't go, so the ref can't or shouldn't blow the whistle. But then similarly, I'd be fuming if I was Areola. I've just been fouled, managed to catch the ball. I'm a bit dazed. I put it down because I think it's a foul. Someone comes and taps it into a net. I would be fuming.
You can't expect to be taken seriously by saying the ref has done what is fair.
He's done what's fair. Yeah. Like, he has. He's looked at the moment and he has taken into account where Areola's at. That's what I think. And he knows that it's like, oh, this would be brutal if I let them score a goal where I was probably going to give the foul, but because he caught it, I'm going to play advantage, which the referee's done right there. But then when he's realised that Areola's maybe not quite with it, or, you know, thought it was a foul because it was, then he's had in that moment like, oh, this is going to be really harsh on Areola. He must have. That's the only explanation as to why then he's blown when he did. And then he's put himself in a difficult spot because, of course, he's going to get stick because I know what he's done is wrong. Like, according to the rules, he should have just let it play and should have let the guy put it into an empty net. But I'm really glad he did what he did because in that moment, it was a foul. And Areola obviously thinks it's a foul. Now, he must have thought he heard something. That's the other thing. Which, bearing in mind, by the way, playing in a stadium of 50,000 people or whatever, he might have thought he heard something. And so for that reason, he was obviously very convinced. You know, he wouldn't have rolled the ball out to a striker to score a goal. He was obviously convinced in that moment the whistle had gone. Obviously, it hadn't. So
the whistle hadn't gone.
No, the whistle hadn't, but he obviously thought it did, and he was fouled.
Okay, so is that what a referee does now? You atone for what you think players
Okay, I know my argument here is not strong.
That's very weak.
No, yeah. I'm aware, but I'm sticking with it because I'm putting myself in Ariola's shoes, and I would ask every goalkeeper listening in now, you've just caught a cross. You think you've been, well, you know you've been fouled. The referees even acknowledge that. You think you've heard a whistle, and you put the ball down on the ground. And imagine someone comes and puts it in an empty net, and the ref says goal. You're going to be like, what the... Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd be absolutely fuming. So I'm glad that he did what he did, but I also understand what he did was wrong.
Okay, you understand what he did was wrong. The referee.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
You're happy now?
Yeah, yeah. No, well, there was no winner here, Richard. Just no. Common sense needed to prevail.
Yes, which it did.
Yeah. Tottenham 2, Arsenal 3. So Arsenal scoring twice from corners. A lot was said about this because of Vicario, Spurs perhaps needing a defensive set-piece coach as a result. But you don't see anything wrong here.
I know I back goalkeepers up, and I probably started the show in this fashion. But no, there's nothing he can do on the two corners. Like the first one whipped into the near post, header at the near post. Yep, no chance, good goal. Second one, whipped in. He's not coming for the cross. It's such a good ball in. He's never coming for the cross, even more so with Ben White coming in front of him and standing. And he does that quite well, actually. He times his run just as the corner's being taken. So it's not one where normally you'll see the player on the goalkeeper from the moment they're about to take the corner. You've got the whole jostle on the line. And sometimes the goalie, you can get him out of the way and you might be able to come. Ben White's quite clever with this, where he waits behind the goalie. When the corner takes about to take it, he runs in front, stands. So it's a last-minute thing, and it's a great ball in. So I think even if he's not there, he probably doesn't come for the cross. And then with him there, he definitely doesn't come for the cross. So, yeah, I find it odd that Vicario's got a little bit of stick for this, because I don't think there's a great deal you can do on these two.
Okay, bit of a keeper caper from David Raya. But I'd like to talk about the penalty as well, scored by Heung-Min Son for Spurs, purely because from the moment the referee blew his whistle and Son connecting with the penalty, and we spoke about this recently, I think, with Bukayo Saka, just under 14 seconds from Son. There was a penalty that Wickham scored in League One as well at the weekend. That was around 12 seconds.
Mm. Too long.
Way too long.
Yeah, too long. I'm not going to tell you my idea again, because I know my idea is perfect, but no one listens to me. In that penalty taker, they should blow the whistle and then the play is live. That's what I think. But I think that... Yeah, it's too long, because I think then there's so... Again, from a goalkeeper's point of view as well, you're having to stay on your line. There's so many rules that you have to adhere to, and the taker can do what they want. So I don't particularly like this. Speaking about the error, I mean, it's not great. This is one where he just tried to be so fancy, especially... Look, he's obviously very good with both feet, predominantly right-footed, of course, but he is good with his left, but to try and do like a dink pass into the centre of the pitch. I know we'll talk a lot about modern goalkeepers, and I do like the way that goalkeepers go in, and the whole idea of playing it into the man to bounce it out to the fullbacks and clip into fullback. Like, I get it, and you're seeing it at the top level where it's done well, and you know, the likes of Man City, whoever, have done it for a long time now, and of course they've been that much better for it, so I do get it. But I still think a left-footed chip pass into your sitting midfielder over two strikers... 3-0 at the time?
Yeah, he didn't commit to it either, did he? He stopped short just as he was about to connect.
Yeah, I think that is what... Which again, whether that's that moment where he's actually thought, what am I doing? Because just an unnecessary risk at that point. I think there's also, as much as we can talk about modern goalkeepers and the way in which you play, I still think there has to be that idea of game management, and, you know, you're winning a game comfortably at this point. And, you know, really, if that goal doesn't go in, you don't have the nervy last few minutes. And I think... And again, some will disagree with me. I know certainly some of the top managers will be like, nope, this is the way we play, regardless of the score, until the final whistle, this is how we play. But I do think you're 3-0 up, away from home, you're cruising, yep, still play in the way which you want to play, but maybe take that risk level down from a 10 to a 4. You know, I just thought it was a strange decision in this moment, and you can see, obviously, instantly he regretted it. And the fact that he didn't commit to the pass, I think probably says a lot, and obviously did make it a nervy end to the game.
Just a few more. Aston Villa 2, Chelsea 2. So Robin Olsen in for Emi Martinez, who apparently has a hamstring strain. So it looks like Olsen's going to be in for the semi-final in the Europa. Well, he will definitely be in for the first leg because of the yellow card that Martinez got in the game against Lille. In the war straight away here, but did make a very good save from Cole Palmer late on.
He did. Do you know what? I actually watched this game and I was impressed with him. Villa, not so much the second half. And I felt for him really, because obviously comes on at 2-0 up. Never an easy position for a goalkeeper to come on half time. Obviously, Emi Martinez has been fantastic again this season. So consistent. And you're stepping into a bit of a no-win situation. And obviously, they've ended up drawing the game, nearly losing the game with a disallowed goal at the end. But I thought that he was good. Aerially, so strong. You know, very front-footed, looking to come for things. Obviously, he's a big guy. Was able to collect a few good crosses under pressure. Made a couple of top saves in the game itself, and actually distribution was good too. It was a couple of times he's fired it out to wingers, got a really nice trajectory. And again, we don't really see that much of Olsen, and again, it's unsure as to whether he'll be with Villa next season, but this is now a bit of an opportunity for him. And I thought, despite the result maybe not going the way he'd have wanted it to go, I thought on a personal level I thought he did well.
Everton 1, Brentford 0, and Jordan Pickford again, who we've spoken about a lot in recent weeks. Another animated performance from him, a really good save from Ivan Toney. And I just think it's worth saying here, because for all of his doubters, and he does have a lot, Jordan Pickford, doesn't he? He just seems to turn up when he needs to, especially at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I was actually at the game a few games ago. They lost to Chelsea 6-0. I was actually at the game and he made a bad error playing out, and it was Cole Palmer, actually, I think it was, that then put it over him and scored the goal there. And do you know what? The big thing, and I've said it many times, I'll keep saying it, is we talk a lot about mentality as a goalkeeper, and the best goalkeepers have a way of just not allowing mistakes to get to them at all. And he certainly got that. And I know what's it, the sort of cliche that goalkeepers are crazy, and I think you kind of need to be to an extent, in that, you know, you make that kind of error, you've just lost 6-0. I know, and again, I talk from personal experience, I'm going into the changing room and that's living with me for a few days. And I know a lot of goalkeepers listening into this podcast, they'll have a similar thing going on, where you make a bad error, you've just been pumped, like that is going to stay. You're going into the next game maybe a bit more nervous than normal because you want to do well, and then often because you're feeling like that, it doesn't go quite so well because you're tense and what have you. The one thing Jordan's got, and whether this is, I know he does a bit of work with a psychologist and there's people that he speaks to, but however he's done it, it doesn't faze him. Like, mistakes just don't seem to bother him whatsoever. And as you say, since that game, he's once again stepped up. They've had some big results. He's made some massive saves, one particular in this game again. He's made a few like this recently, running across his goal, making himself big, getting on the second ball, reading the game well. A lovely moment where he came out and headed it about 25 yards out and managed to head it to about the halfway line. Just really positive. Like you say, he is animated. He's got his own style. Some will like it, some won't. You mentioned where he gets a bit of criticism. I think where people have a preconceived idea as to what they want in a goalkeeper, he maybe doesn't tick some of those boxes for a lot of people, but he's got a strategy that works for him, and it has done for so long now. To retain his place in the England team, to have done what he's done year in, year out for Everton. I know a couple of player of the season awards in there as well. And once again, you know, pressure time of the season, and he's stepped up in a big way.
Manchester United 1, Burnley 1. Andre Onana. So a couple of really good saves in this game, especially from Lyle Foster, tipping over the bar from the striker. But the penalty is what was being talked about. And interestingly, it's almost like he's bookended his season, isn't it? Because there was the one on the opening day against Wolves that wasn't given. Then there was this one against Burnley that was given.
Yeah, and look, it is a pen. I mean, first and foremost, I think it's Casemiro that, I don't know what he's doing with the header. Like, just almost stands there and lets it hit his head. And then, of course, you look at it again, and the obvious thing to say is that he should stay where he is. There's no need to come for this ball. He's never getting to this ball. But once he's committed, he decides to go the whole way, which, again, we'll bring out another goalkeeping cliche, but if you're going to come the whole way, go through everybody. No, like, not in this moment. That, I think that is one where you take that step forward, you realise you're not getting there. Can you hold? Can you drop back to where you should be? He's decided to commit and he's so late. So it is a pen. The ball's long gone and he's obviously clattered him. But yeah, to talk about the positives, I mean, the saves in the first half, the save to his left in particular, you know, we talk about reaction save, but this is Andre Onana. You know, he's so powerful, so quick. Not many goalkeepers make this save. The speed of reactions to get a hand to it, to get over the bar was fantastic. But it's just frustrating for him in that obviously the penalty then leads to the equaliser, the fact they didn't get the win. And this is the other bit we speak about a lot. If you're in a team that are winning more often than not, moments like this can be forgotten. The David Raya, that moment will be forgotten very quickly. They won the game 3-2. Whereas this, it sticks. And I guess where United have been so poor this season, a lot of the mistakes Onana has made have been quite costly because of the fact they're not dominating games, not winning comfortably. But there was a lot of good stuff in this game again. And again, it's crazy to me when I see, am I right in saying he's still top of the number of saves made in the Premier League? You know, when does that happen? A team that are meant to be a top four, top six team, and he's number one in the stats for number of saves made. It's, you know, he is being overworked, and because of that, there will be more mistakes. And unfortunately for him, I think a lot of those mistakes have been costly.
Lovely. And just to finish in the Premier League, two games now for Mark Travers, who has stepped in for Neto at Bournemouth. Two clean sheets.
Very good. Yeah, very good. I mean, it's, again, interesting summer. We're getting to that point now where, of course, we will be doing GKs on their way. I don't know if that will necessarily be Travers on his way, but I'm pleased for him in that he's in that funny position where he has had some Premier League games, had to go on his loans to the Championship, waiting for that opportunity to be given the shirt. And again, all you can do is, when you do get those opportunities, taking them and hoping that things open up. But yeah, certainly couldn't have gone any better with the two games he's had.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Ryan Alsop and Vaslav Hladký had a ding-dong battle at the MKM. It ended 3-3, but the scoreline could have been far different had it not been for the 8 saves made by Alsop, including one of those love-to-see-it mad scrambles in injury time, and Hladký called out for parrying and not catching Matty Jacobs' header in the equaliser from Noah Ohio. Senny Dieng solid once again as Middlesbrough mauled Cardiff on their own patch. Able adjustment to prevent an early lob from David Turnbull creeping in before Dimitrios Goutas saw his header palmed onto the post. Dan Backman at it again, like a man possessed in Watford's win over Sunderland. Point blank denial in the face of Trey Hume in the first half, and navigating his 6-yard box well to see off Callum Stiles in the second half.
Oh, where do we start? Well, I think we'll start with Backman. As you say, he's had some really, really strong performances in the last few weeks. Certainly, same again in this one. Really tight game by all accounts. In fact, my nephew was at the game. He gave me a bit of a rundown. He did say that Backman played very, very well, and he was correct. He did do well. But a big well done to him, because, again, interesting summer for so many goalkeepers, and he's probably in that category also. Brilliant save from Dieng. One of these moments, and I think, again, we'll talk a lot about modern goalkeeping, the fact that goalkeepers are so advanced. The risk you've always got is if one of your players loses the ball in midfield at some point, you're always going to be out of position given the way that you have to play. But the speed at which he was able to get back, this should be a goal all day. It's a lovely strike. It's going probably just under the crossbar, but the way in which he moved his feet, spring, good power to get enough of a hand, and you can see straight away a few of his lads come over to him and give him a big thank you. I thought it was a top save. Fascinating game between Hull and Ipswich. Very good from Ryan Alsop again. Lots of saves in this one. He's had another very, very solid season. I think Hladký will be frustrated with the third goal. And again, he's someone else who's had a top season. Obviously, Ipswich, great chance of automatic promotion. He's certainly really fit into how they're looking to play and how they want to play. Just been a couple of moments lately. I know we spoke about the Norwich one a couple of weeks back, and this one will be frustrating in that it is full stretch, but given that there's not too much power on it, the question is, can you hold something like this? And I think had he tried to hold it, he would have held it, the chances are. I think he's probably thought in that moment it's safer to parry, but of course, the moment he parries, not really able to get it wide enough, ball ends up in the net. It's one of those that I'm sure, and again, talking from personal perspective, you get into the change room afterwards, you're probably a little bit disappointed with the outcome.
Before we move on to League One, I'd just like to ask you about the decision to go with Alex McCarthy at Southampton. So Joe Lumley, who had been the number two for a period of time, was, I imagine, expecting to maybe come in after Gavin Batazunu got the horrible injury that will see him out for a period of time. But McCarthy's come in, a couple of good stops in what was a third defeat in a row for Southampton now at the weekend, who look like they are in danger of limping into the playoffs.
Yeah, been a really, really strange season for them. Started the season poorly, obviously had that incredible run, another poor spell. Then it looked like they were going to get themselves back amongst the top two, and once again, a poor run. They've been quite streaky is probably the word I'd use. But yeah, odd situation this, because they had the game where Bazunu was meant to start, obviously Lumley on the bench. Bazunu gets a terrible injury. Obviously wish him well on that, because it does sound like a bad one. It's a terrible injury in the warm-up. So of course you expect Lumley to play. But in that moment, the manager had a feeling that he wanted then to go with Alex McCarthy. So I think it's unusual. I don't remember seeing that before, where essentially a goalkeeper who was, you know, he's in the squad obviously, but not getting warm, not even in his kit, potentially, to then suddenly step in and play a game. You can imagine if you're Joe Lumley, that's not, yeah, not the most pleasing thing or the nicest thing to have happen to you. Again, managers will have their own reasons as to why they think that a certain goalkeeper may be better suited. But then the question comes back to, well, why wasn't Alex McCarthy on the bench in the first place, you know, if you're going to do something like that? So I think, look, incredibly harsh on Joe, because when he has played, he's done really well this season in the cup games and the games that he has been given. And you can imagine just how disappointed he would be in that moment. It'd be fascinating to see what they do now, because as you mentioned, they've made that change. They've lost three in a row. Not that Alex McCarthy's been at fault at all, but I think it's quite well known that McCarthy will likely move on at the end of the season. Joe Lumley is likely to stay there next season. So do they at this point put Joe in for the last game of the season, maybe for the playoffs as well, or do they stick with Alex McCarthy? So I don't think we've necessarily seen the end of that one just yet.
Into League One, where Will Norris finished the season with one of what he's had many of throughout, a clean sheet. Will it be enough, though, to bag the honour he looked so likely to earn earlier on in the campaign? We shall see at the end of this, shan't we, Richard?
Oh, I like what you've done there.
Very gritty.
What a tease.
He did save a penalty from Daniel Mandrieu in a 2-0 win over Lincoln that ensured the Imps, despite their late surge towards the playoffs, just missed out on the top six. Not for the want of trying, though, especially Lucas Jensen, who pulled off another in a string of fine saves this term, lifting himself off the deck and scrambling across his box to somehow keep out Jack Sparks. Jed Ward ending a breakthrough campaign well at Wigan, in action as early as 22 seconds in what proved to be a defeat to the Latics, but good stops at 0-0 from Babajide at Deco and Thalo Asgard. It's time for one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
Joel Pereira, perhaps thinking ahead to his summer holidays here. Who knows? Reading comfortable against Blackpool in injury time. Blackpool season looking to be over. And then he just gets a little caught under his own feet when playing out to allow a consolation for Jordan Lawrence Gabriel. Sometimes, with it being the last kick potentially of the entire season for him, you have to chuckle a little bit at these ones. And to finish on a couple of names not often heard on the pod, such is the nature of the final day. So first, Jamie Partington of Cheltenham, although actually not the case of a cliche final day appearance, but instead due to a horrid injury to Luke Southwood. He came on for his Robins debut, just his third ever EFL appearance, and his first in 3 years in a huge survival encounter at Stevenage. Did well, save from Lewis Thompson one-on-one, tipped over a volley from Nick Freeman and reacted to parry an effort from Ben Thompson through bodies. Sadly, however, a 2-1 defeat saw Cheltenham go down. But enjoying another campaign in League One, a Leighton Orient who handed Sam Howes a rare start and a first league win for the 26-year-old. Four really good saves of note at Shrewsbury. Jordan Shipley kept out at the far post, and a brilliant double save from Shipley and Daniel Udo. And then Udo denied again, with Howes sticking out a left leg to instinctively deny the striker.
Yeah, well, I think to start with Sam Howes, really pleased for him that he got this game. You often see that, and I'm assuming this was last game of the season. There's nothing necessarily to play for. Let's give the other goalkeeper a game. And I do like this for the fact that, you know, again, I'm speaking from personal experience a lot today, actually, but this was essentially how I got my breakthrough to an extent. You know, and I think for, and obviously Sam has played before, etc., but you know, when you haven't had that many games, you treasure each game that you do get. So I do like that when a manager puts the faith in the number two goalkeeper to play that final game or final couple of games of the season. Because, of course, going into the next season, especially Leighton Orient being a good example, where they've got Bryn on loan, they don't know if he'll return or not. Probably won't, you'd guess, whereas Sam Howes will be there more than likely. So, you know, to give those games in that moment makes that much sense, given that they're likely to be with you next season, as opposed to maybe a goalkeeper who's on loan who's had a fantastic season, but there's no real more value to gain for maybe Orient or even for Bryn. You know, he's done what he needed to do. So delighted for Sam Howes, and as you say, some top saves in this. And it's nice to have a game like that right at the end of the season, because that You know, it's that cliche, isn't it? You're only as good as your last game. That then stays in the memory, whether that's with fans, whether it's with coaches, your goalkeeper coach, etc. So really nice way to go into the summer. Not so nice for Pereira, as you mentioned, which again, I was annoyed with this. I'll be honest, I was annoyed. And the reason I was annoyed is that he's done really well since he stepped in for David Button not so long ago, had some top games. They've obviously got themselves out of any trouble. The fact they won this, it will be quickly forgotten, but I could just imagine your last touch effectively before you go into your summer break. You know, you're not going to catch a ball now for the next 2 months. You're not going to do a training session for the next 2 months. The last thing you've done is go to play it out and it's got blocked and gone into the goal. But no, it doesn't take away from what he has done over the last month or two. So well done to him for that, but not such a well done for the moment at the end of the game.
And finally, in League Two, Alex Cairns with a classic Cairns and a classic draw for Salford. Only two teams drew more than the Amies at home this season in League Two. Harrogate, the parity restorers this time, but they could have left with a victory had it not been for a double save of sorts from Cairns, keeping his wits about him to thwart George Thompson and Jack Muldoon. A shout to Michael Kelly, who's held his own in nets for MK, despite the loan signing of Philip Marshall. So very much playing the Mike Williamson way too. 10 saves in what was a bonkers 4-4 with Sutton, including an unconventional hammy slash backside offering when playing out went to Rye, and Stephen Duke McKenna thought he was destined to score. It was actually a really good save, that one, although it is now 13 conceded. Incredible in their last three for MK, which no doubt they'll need to address prior to that playoff semi-final with Crawley next Monday, and quite the turn of events at Priestfield. So Doncaster looking home and hosed and all set for the playoffs as they led Gillingham 2-0 at half-time. They did make it, but not without a few squeaky bums en route. So Timothy Lotutala, who has been unflappable since arriving on loan from Hull, sent off 10 minutes into the second half for a handball outside the box. Lewis Jones on for his first start since January. The first thing he has to do is pick the ball out of the net from the resultant free kick. All of this came from what could have been very nearly an assist from Jake Turner. Then Jones makes a crucial save from a Connor Masterton header on 91 minutes, seconds before another corner is cleared off the line.
Yeah, I think we'll focus on this game because it was, and I was at the time watching Sky Sports News, and you're kind of seeing the ongoing, and when it went to 2-2, you thought, oh my God, they can't miss out here, surely. You know, and there was that fear then that had they lost the game and results gone elsewhere, you know, being 2-0 up, cruising, as you say, and it was just a crazy, crazy few minutes. Firstly, top goalkeeping by Jake Turner. He's come to about 17 yards to catch this cross. Boom, one downfield. And it's one of those tricky situations for Lotutala where he's obviously, you know, very front-footed goalkeeper, looking to read the ball as it bounces, thinking he can come and clear it, probably in the moment hoping that his defenders will then shield the attacker so that he can take control of the situation. Of course, the moment the defender heads back, then you've got that situation. What do you do? And I think most goalkeepers do exactly what he did, which is the reaction is just to stop it going in the net. So you put a hand up, and of course, he gets sent off as a result. I mean, looking at this again, the only other argument would be in that moment, you drop back into your box. I think given that the defenders are there, it might be easy just to drop back and they can either head it to you or head it away. But again, this is where I think for goalkeepers that do play like this, that are looking to affect play at all times and looking to be very front-footed and look to read the game, which he does very, very well, then you do want to come and affect things. So, you know, I think sometimes you're going to have moments like this if you do play like that. But yeah, crazy game. And a big well done to Lewis Jones as well, because stepping in, obviously conceding a free kick straight away, tough way to enter a game. And similarly to Pardington, where, you know, you're coming into arguably the biggest game of the season. You know, how often does it happen? You prepare every game, 46 games, you don't get your chance, and then suddenly you're thrown on in the biggest game of the season. And it's one of the toughest things. We've seen examples in the past where it can be quite brutal on goalkeepers, where they're just not ready, which naturally you won't be. You won't have played a game of that intensity, that speed. And for both of them to do as well as they did, Lewis Jones helping Doncaster over the line, of course, he'll now get another game in the playoffs. And for Pardington, like you say, frustrating that they weren't able to do it, but on a personal level, to play very well. I mean, Luke Southwood has been so consistent all season. You know, I think for goalkeepers to come in and do this, big well done to them, shows big mentality.
We should mention, before we finish the EFL overview, which will be the last full EFL overview of the season, there were a number of number two goalkeepers used. So a few names that we haven't really mentioned on the pod this season that we'll just flag because they played that final game. David Harrington being one, Sam Howes, who we've mentioned, Nick Zanev in, Adam Smith in, and a nice touch from Swindon, bringing on Redmond Evans for Jack Bycroft late in their game.
Yeah, good. like I say, I think that if I was a manager, I think when it comes to, I know that managers want to finish as high as they can and they want to keep putting out their strongest team and every position kind of helps their CV and so on and so forth. But I think those looking at the bigger picture, these are games, you look at games where you can give the goalkeeper that's not getting game time games, then cup games obviously are, you know, certainly League One, League Two, your EFL games, the League Cup games, the EFL trophy, you know, these are nice early in the season, but very rarely in the second half of the season do you get any opportunities to give games to goalkeepers because it is just league games normally. You're normally out of the cups by January, so it is just league games. So it is this stage of the season where with 2-3 games to go, you've got nothing to play for. Surely that's the time where you give that goalkeeper another run, because again, you go into the following season, if they don't have those games, the amount that could impact them when they are finally needed. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, it is this stage of the show, and I guess this won't be the finale, or maybe it could be the finale. I don't know yet. We're going to have the table shortly, but let's see who is in this week's Clean Sheet Club. Not many this week. We start in the Premier League. Jordan Pickford, hat-trick. Mark Travers, 100% into the Championship. Asmir Begovic, back-to-back when it mattered most. Ainsley Pears, 50-50. Brad Collins, 9-3 to none in one. Max O'Leary, every single game. Mateo Sarkic, 3-4. James Beadle, brain-busting blank. Dan Iverson, double-bubble. Dan Backman, ditto. Mads Hermansson, champion. Into League One, Joe Wildsmith, just short of a siren. David Harrington, welcome to the club. Will Norris, first in eight. Connor Ripley, valiant finish. Will Mannion, finishing on four. Sam Tickle, win, win, win. Franco Ravazzoli, level with Max. And into League Two, Corey Adai, biggest blank so far. Vicente Reyes, clean and win number five.
There you go, the madness of the final day meant that it was a very brief Clean Sheet Club. And I do believe it will be the finale. There are games in the Championship. There are games in the Premier League, of course. However, from my calculations, now I think I've got this right. I hope I have. But from my calculations, Ian Melier remains on 18 in 43. He has one more game to go. Officially, they might be playoffs, but we don't count those. It's just the regular season. So he can finish only on 19.
Okay.
Will Norris and Lucas Jensen both finished on 19. Jensen in 45, Norris in 46.
Okay.
So no one else can reach 21.
Okay.
And eclipse the man on 20 who with a clean sheet on a final day at home to Carlisle United to seal the fate of Derby County into the Championship next season with 20 is Joe Wildsmith.
Oh.
Can you believe it?
Wow. Wow. I just feel like we built up to this moment and now I just feel relief. Like a sense of relief. And a big congratulations to Joe Wildsmith. Massive congratulations to Derby. I saw the scenes at the end of the game and I could see just how happy he was. And I was thinking, was that because Derby got promoted or was that because he knew?
He's thinking on Monday evening or Tuesday morning or whenever it is that they release this podcast, my name's going to be read out.
Yeah. And he is expecting a trophy, which we have, or
which is in, I think it will be in the post at some stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
But look, big well done. 20 clean sheets. What a season. I mean, you talk about goalkeepers often do this. We set targets for how many clean sheets, which I mean, look, it's always difficult to do because it is pretty much reliant on whether you've got a defense in front of you or not. But most will set a target of like 15 in the 45, 46 game season, you know, one in three, that is playoffs at least, you know. So to get near enough, because I know he missed a couple of games, like to get near enough one in two, how many games did he play actually?
There you go, Richard. I was hoping you'd ask me that.
Ah.
So again, from my calculations, 20 clean sheets in 40 games.
Oh.
One in two.
Something you dream of.
What a record, by the way.
Oh my God, he's going to have an incredible summer. Going to bed every night knowing that I am one in two. That is elite.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Yes, so congratulations to Joe Wildsmith. You are the Clean Sheet Club King for 2023-24.
Wow, wild.
So That's us, Richard. There is plenty more action to take place, isn't there, over the course of the next few weeks. So we will continue these throughout the final day of the Premier League season, the final day of the Championship season, and all the playoffs too.
Indeed. Can't wait.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Oh, wait.